How do you think I got the music? If there hadn't been Africans that were interested in it, I couldn't have got anything. No, very many of them were interested in what I was doing, and very many of them agreed that it needed doing. The only thing is, of course, that in all new states, they always say, oh, well, you know, we must have a school here first, and we must have a hospital here first, and so on, and the music tends to get ignored. And this, I think, is dangerous, because, in fact, it will die out.
Wildroot was presented by Lucy Duran and produced by Peter Meanwell. And you can see photos of Gene Jenkins on the Radio 3 website. It's 11 o'clock, time now for Jazz Lineup, presented by Claire Martin.
And on today's show, I've got highlights of a very special concert set from piano legend Mokoi Tyner's recent performance at this year's London Jazz Festival. That's coming up a little later on in the show. And Kevin Legendre is here to unearth another jazz classic from the vaults in this month's Now's the Time feature. So, Kevin, what have you picked this month?
Tanya Maria's storming Brazilian soul funky classic, Come With Me, which has amazing music that sounds like this.
Thanks, Kevin. Looking forward to talking about that album a bit later. We're also coming up on the show today, concert tracks from Gilad Atzmon and the Orient House Ensemble, recorded at this year's Scarborough Jazz Festival. Well, to start things off, saxophonist Nat Birchall gets us in the mood with a track from his third release, Sacred Dimension, which is a clear progression from his two most recent albums. This time, Nat has a new drummer, Andy Hay, who he describes as a force of nature. And harpist Rachel Gladwin, who is featured on all of the tracks, brings her own folk-tinged take on jazz harp to the fore. Adam Fairhall is on piano, Nick Blacker is on bass, and the percussion is played by all of the band, who are just handed out percussion instruments on the day of the session and told to play what they feel. All very organic. This is Dance of the Mystic.
Thank you.
Dance of the Mystic by saxophonist Nat Burchill from his new album Sacred Dimension. Clearly influenced by the sounds of sax player Pharoah Sanders and harpist Alice Coltrane, two of the key recording artists for Impulse Records, which brings us to highlights of today's concert set by the McCoy Tyner Trio. This was recorded in celebration of Impulse Records marking the label's 50th anniversary. McCoy's piano playing featured heavily on many recordings on the iconic label, including his famous collaborations and recordings with jazz legend John Coltrane. Well, Kevin, you were actually at that McCoy Tyner gig.
Yeah, it was glorious. It was a bit of a double header, really, because the whole premise of it was to take John Coltrane's classic collaboration with the vocalist Johnny Hartman and do some of those songs again with Jose James in the role of Johnny Hartman. Mm. But what they also did, which was really nice, was they played as a quartet. So it was just McCoy with his trio and Chris Potter doing several pieces before Jose James came on to do the Hartman stuff. And I think both elements worked really nicely. The quartet was great. They did classics, basically, as you'll hear, stuff which McCoy wrote many years ago. But Chris Potter played really well. Mm. I think there would have been a temptation for him to really go over the top and be, oh, Mr. Train.
But he was restrained.
But he was restrained, yeah. And he was just being himself, and I think it worked really well.
What a pro. And you also got a chance to speak with Chris Potter, and that interview was part of the festival's Hear Me Talking To You strand. And here's what Chris said when you asked him about the vocal quality of the saxophone.
Oh, yeah, that's one thing I love about it. You know, I mean, the downside is you only have one note at a time, you know? You're not able to play a chord. You're not able to be the whole orchestra. You've got one note. But there can be so much within that note. You know, the way you shape it, the way you play it. You know, it's kind of amazing, actually, the different kinds of expression that there are. And sometimes when I listen to something that I've done, even, I hear, you know, like I know what I was thinking at that time, and I realize, oh, wow, I didn't know that I was approaching it that way, but... You know, it's almost like psychoanalysis, isn't it? You know, like you hear, oh, wow, that's what I was thinking.
We'll bring you that in-depth interview with Chris Potter and Kevin in the new year. But for the moment, let's have a listen to those highlights from McCoy Tyner and his band, recorded at this year's London Jazz Festival at the Barbican on the second night of the festival. Featuring Gerald Cannon on bass, Joe Farnsworth on drums, and of course McCoy Tyner on the piano, the trio was also joined by special guest saxophonist Chris Potter and vocalist Jose James. The band open with Tyner's Blues on the Corner.
Thank you. Thank you. This next composition is something I wrote for someone very special in my life, and I think she's present, and she wants to stay anonymous. Ballad for Asia. Thank you. Thank you. Bring out a vocalist, featured vocalist tonight, Jose James.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's such an honor to work with one of your personal heroes. So please join me in giving a big warm welcome and thank you to McCoy Tyner.
Autumn with her serenade, melodies, the sweetest music ever played. Autumn kisses we knew are beautiful souvenirs. As I pause to recall, the leaves seem to fall like tears. Silver stars were clinging to an autumn sky. Love was ours until October wandered by. Let the years come and go, I'll still feel the glow. That time cannot fade when I hear that lovely autumn. Comes autumn with her serenade, melodies, the sweetest music ever played. Autumn kisses we knew are beautiful souvenirs. As I pause to recall, the leaves seem to fall like tears. we're clinging to an autumn sky. Love was ours until October wandered by. Let the years come and go, I'll still feel the glow. That time cannot fade when I hear that lovely autumn serenade. If I should write a book for you that brought me fame and fortune too, that book would be like my heart and me, dedicated to you. If I should write a book for you that brought me fame and fortune too, that book would be like my heart and me, dedicated to you. If I should paint a picture too that showed the loveliness of you, my art would be like my heart and me, dedicated to you. Your love is the beacon that lights up my way to you, because with you I know a lifetime could be just one heavenly day. Twinkling star, one half as wondrous as you are, that star would be like my heart and me, dedicated.
Dedicated to you, finishing tonight's concert set. And before that, you heard Blues on the Corner, Ballad for Aisha, and Autumn Serenade. And that was the McCoy Tyner Trio with special guest saxophonist Chris Potter and, of course, Jose James singing beautifully there, Gerald Cannon on bass and Joe Farnsworth on the drums. And that was recorded at this year's London Jazz Festival at the Barbican as part of the Impulse at 50 concert celebrations. And the celebrations continue down at Canary Wharf for Chris Barber, who's celebrating his 62nd year as a band leader. And he's got his big Chris Barber band playing at Boys' Ale of Canary Wharf on Saturday, the 3rd of December. So that sounds like it's going to be a very swinging affair. Well, from big band to orchestra, and a very special orchestra, the John Wilson Orchestra. John Wilson taking Annalene Beachy, Kim Criswell and Matthew Ford with him, starting tomorrow and going on to the 11th of December. They're taking in all the major towns: Manchester Bridgewater Hall the 29th of November, Glasgow on the 6th of December and Edinburgh on the 7th, and finishing in Cardiff on the 11th of December. But I'm sure I'll be hearing much more about that when I interview John Wilson on a later Jazz Lineup. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on DAB Digital Radio. Well, now it's time for our regular monthly feature. Now's the Time with Kevin Lejeune. Now, you mentioned at the beginning, it is, of course, Tania Maria and a CD that's very close to my heart. Tell us about it.
Well, basically, this is Tania Maria's breakthrough album, and it enabled her to reach a wider audience, which was the Soul Boy fraternity as well as the jazz fraternity. And it brings together Brazilian jazz, soul, funk, there's a pop element as well, but she doesn't lose her integrity.
Mm.
Right in the centre of the album, there is this very, very gifted pianist and songwriter who has been schooled in Sergio Mendes, Ho Beam, João Gilberto, all the Brazilian greats, and she's embracing all of this American popular culture, soul and funk and Stevie Wonder, and she's drawing all of these strands together and turning it into something which is very palatable, really catchy, something that just grabs you.
And she's making up another language.
Yeah.
She does this whole scat
her
thing.
Scat
I remember
thing,
when this came out, all the singers were going, she's scatting, but it sounds like it is another language. She's made it into something so unique and so Tanya Maria, you couldn't for a minute think it was anybody else. She had such a sound.
There's basically the wide range of influences and this really, really strong personality in the middle of it all.
Well, let's start with the first track because it just grabs you, doesn't it, from the off.
It's a burst of energy. It's an explosion, Sangria, which has this strong Afro-Cuban feel more than a Brazilian feel. But you listen to the piano playing, the percussion, the funkiness of it, and I defy you not to dance.
Thank you. Tony Maria and Sangria, which is the first track on this amazing album that Kevin and I are talking about. And it's dear to our hearts because it was really back in the day for us, wasn't it? I'm imagining you mentioned Soul Boy. That's quite,
that's
it seems like such an old-fashioned expression. But yeah, I guess this was a massive, massive album because when Come With Me came on, everybody just flocked to the dance floor, didn't they? And Sangria, I imagine, was a bit too fast to dance to.
No, it wasn't. People did used to dance to that. That was the thing. The jazz dancers in these soul clubs, because it was more connected in those days. You had soul and jazz being played in the same clubs, and something like this for people who wanted to have music that was challenging. Mm. Like, this is taken at a very, very brisk tempo. It's got this real drive to it. As I say, there's a kind of Afro-Cuban mambo rhythm that she's using, and then you listen to the way that she's driving with her left hand.
Mm.
It's a really, really strong percussive track. Some of the dancers really got into that.
And of course, percussion, Steve Thornton on this album, but she's very renowned for using these fantastic percussionists that really, again, are featured heavily, aren't they? And also, whatever groove she takes on this album, there's still the percussion that's really underneath it, which I really loved. Hearing percussion on Embraceable You was a, you know, I hadn't heard that before. So for me, she took it in an area that was so far out from what I was used to hearing, the swing singers. Suddenly I was trying to sing like Tanya Maria. So for
it's
singers,
the samba.
It's addictive.
It's her samba roots which are coming through. So even though she's a very, very good jazz player who I'm sure would have studied Bill Evans and pianists like that, you can tell that underneath it all there is this Brazilian who has embraced or who has the samba tradition just flowing through, which is why when you've got a ballad, and we're going to listen to a very mellow track a bit later with this great, like, lovely little cowbell or a timbale or some kind of percussion instrument that they use to punctuate, think, okay, that's just basically her roots. That's where she's come from.
The other thing she did, which I thought was a first for me, is the way she layers her voice. And sometimes she does a call and response and sometimes layers, multi-tracks her voice 2, 4, 6, even 8 times. So it's a kind of wall of sound, not necessarily even harmonised. And that's very Tanya Maria. I think that she made that really her sound. And loads of reverb, lots of echoey things.
I think she actually called it overdubbing. She was bubbling with her overdubs. And she does have this very, very distinctive way of harmonising, building up the track so that you get the feeling of a bit of a chorus. You think, oh, there's the Tanya Maria's just multiplied into 6 or 7 different people, yet at the same time, it's not overpowering. And I think that's the brilliance of this album as well, is that you've got these two strands, these two elements of her personality. I've seen her live, you've seen her live as well, and so you know that she has this wild quality, that she can just be very exuberant, yet at the same time she's also very mellow and sensitive. And it's the way that the two things come together on this record which I think is special.
The opening riff that we're going to hear now leading us into the title track, which is maybe one of my Desert Island discs even. I love this so much. Fantastic groove, really nice layback kind of, nothing too in your face. Again, exploring a different sort of area of this kind of Latin funk feel. Come With Me, I think it's got to be a classic.
It is a classic. It's either Lincoln Goines or is it John Penner? One of them is playing electric bass on this track.
John Penner.
And I think, especially at that time, the early 80s, slap bass was still pretty fashionable. It's gone out of fashion for a lot of people now, and I think that the fact that they're using that nice crunchy slap bass groove without making it too in your face, as I say, there's the subtlety. So you've got a track which has bite, you listen to that rhythm and you think, okay, there's definitely something that grabs you, but it's not too much, it's not overpowering.
And it's a fabulous lyric, isn't it? Bring sunny days into my life. It's so feel good, isn't it?
And that's the thing about this track, which always gets me. I think to myself, is it a ballad or is it a groove? And you think, well, actually, it's both. It's something which is unassuming, yet at the same time, there's a bit of push, there's a bit of punch in the way they play it.
And it makes me feel 21 again.
Hey, sadly. Never a bad thing. Thank you.
Tanya Maria from the album Come With Me, and of course the title track, Kevin, classic. We've just said that. So let's talk about the next piece we're going to hear. I mean, again, we're talking about the different contrasts on this album, and this is a real sort of lazy, summery, chilled out track called Nega, which she co-wrote again. What does this mean to you, this track?
It's just popped into my head. The reason why I like this track so much is because it has a haunting quality. That's what it is.
Okay. Yes, it does, actually. Yes, it does.
It's something which is very sensual, as you say, lilting, that's definitely the right word. It has this kind of liquid, very, very beautiful floating quality. Yet at the same time, there's something a little bit wistful and a bit haunting about it as well. And I think there's another track on this album called Lost in Amazonia. And I think that's a part of Tanya Maria's musical personality, to bring in a bit of melancholia into what she does in the midst of all the beauty. And the way that she does it, I think, technically, structurally, is to use her voice in a very light, very delicate way. It really works because it's got this lovely little percussion groove in contrast with her voice. There's a woody or a metallic feel to the percussion. I'm not sure whether it's a timbale or just a woodblock or whatever it is they're using. It's some percussion instrument. And that's kind of bubbling away. At the same time, it's not overcrowding the voice. The two things are sitting together really beautifully.
This is one of those productions where I think, even though it's 1983, it doesn't sound old-fashioned, even though it, you know, things have moved on. You can hear the reverbs that she's using, perhaps she wouldn't use now, and different studio techniques, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't sound dated, this, does it?
Some 80s production is cold, but this production is warm. And as I say, slap bass is something which a lot of people would actually recoil in horror at hearing these days, but I think it really works on this.
But in conclusion, really, this album has got so many diverse grooves. Can we just talk about the idea of putting Embraceable You on? Because in amongst all of that, she's decided to do a George Gershwin song, which was terrific, which definitely lured me in, because I was thinking, wow, I bet she can do all the jazz standards and she can do all this. I saw her as a complete artist when I was growing up. I thought, there's nothing she can't do, really. And then I met her and I thought, there probably isn't anything she can't do.
Yeah.
She's quite a force, isn't she?
She's a force of nature on stage. I think the album which came after this was called Tanya Maria Wild, which really just told its own story. But you're absolutely right. Dropping a Gershwin tune, a real standard among standards, in the middle of all of this, I think it makes perfect sense. And it probably did give her that kind of credibility that served her cause in the jazz community.
Sure, well, people would pick that up and know that song, wouldn't they? And think, well, I know that, and I'll take a chance on the other seven tracks, I guess. Maybe.
Yeah, at the same time, as I say, the other spirit which I think pervades this album, which is really strong, is definitely Stevie Wonder. I mean, you hear that throughout, that she's been listening to a lot of Stevie Wonder. And if you go back to a track like either As or Bird of Beauty, where Stevie's channeling Brazilian music in Hobim, you think, okay, she's relating to Stevie through Hobim and bringing it full circle by then taking his influence and recasting it in this context.
Brilliant. Well, let's hear the track now. Thanks very much, Kevin. This is from Come With Me, Tanya Maria, of course, the force to be reckoned with, and someone I know is very much missed on the scene. I don't know what she's up to now. I know she does stuff in Germany, but I think she should come to London.
She should. I mean, she played the Jazz Cafe a couple of years ago. I saw her, and she was still wild. In fact, I think she's getting wilder with age. She's at one point, she had everybody singing in French.
That's good.
Which is always a good thing. And she hasn't lost any of her energy at all. And I saw her in the Caribbean a couple of years ago, and she was brilliant as well.
So, lucky you.
Lucky me.
Yeah,
indeed.
Nice gig. Thanks for coming in, Kevin.
It's
really
my
good
pleasure
to talk about this album.
Yeah, I'm always up for talking about it as well.
And this is the track Nega.
With me.
Tanya Maria and the track Negar from the wonderful album Come With Me, which was our featured album on Now's the Time. And many thanks to Kevin Lejeune. This is Jazz Lineup with me, Claire Martin, on BBC Radio 3, on FM, online and on DAB digital radio. We're time now for some more concert music, this time recorded at this year's Scarborough Jazz Festival, featuring saxophonist Gilead Atzmann and his Orient House Ensemble. Recorded at the Grand Hall at the Spa on Saturday the 24th of September, featuring Frank Harrison on piano, Yaron Stavi on bass, Eddie Hick on drums and Gilead on saxophone and clarinet. Here's the band with Gilead's own composition, The Tide Has Changed.
Thank you.
Ending tonight's concert highlights, that was London to Gaza. And before that, you heard The Tide Has Changed. Gilad Atzmon and his Orient House Ensemble recorded at the Grand Hall at the Spa at this year's Scarborough Jazz Festival. Eddie Hick played the drums, Yaron Stavi played bass, Frank Harrison was on piano, and of course Gilad Atzmon on saxophone and clarinets. Well, we're almost at the end of our show, but don't forget there's plenty more jazz on BBC Radio 3 with Jazz on 3 with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11. And this week, Jez presents multi-instrumentalist Henry Threadgill and his Zoid Band, recorded at the London Jazz Festival. And on next week's show, an interview with the great Vince Mendoza and concert music from Tomas Stanko, recorded at this year's Glasgow Jazz Festival. Well, to finish today's show, guitarist Phil Robson's latest release, The Immeasurable Code, is a record of a tour he did with his IMS quintet featuring New York saxophonist Mark Turner in January of this year. Recently launched at London's Purcell Room, all bar two of the tracks have been composed by Phil and are based around the concept of communication methods. Nazarius Beads is the track, and the musicians are Phil, of course, on guitar, Mark Turner on the sax, Gareth Lecrain on flute, Michael Janisch on bass, and the Cuban drummer Ernesto Simpson. Till next time, from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. Music for Wind Quintet threads through this couple of hours. It's a concert the Miró Ensemble gave in Barcelona in 2009. The five players themselves all play in major orchestras in Spain and Germany, one of them in the Berlin Philharmonic. To come hear the Miró Ensemble in the Ligeti Bagatelles, the Malcolm Arnold Shanties, a Tafanel Wind Quintet, and first of all, hear a quintet by Jean Francais, who survived into his late 80s. He passed away in 1997. He once said he'd like to be Grandpapa Haydn's spiritual grandson. So with Francais, high spirits would generally be the order of the day. This is his first wind quintet, written in 1948. Thank you.
Thank you.